say.
You're listening to On Point with Perry Solkowski and Randy Janda on Sportsnet 650. When I go to sleep.
Lots of talk going on, hockey talk, so many things going on around the league. Good article in Sportsnet.ca by Luke Fox with some good ideas as to what's going on and his take and things. And Luke joins us right now on Point. Luke, thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No, we appreciate it. There's so many things to talk about. Let's just deal on your perspective on what we'll have tonight. We see a Minnesota Wild team coming into Vancouver, a team that really a lot of people haven't talked about. Stahl having an incredible run. Is Minnesota hockey right now and how this team is, has it continued to drum up the excitement that maybe some thought they would have had a couple years ago, or are they just a little bit of the unforgotten right now?
Yeah, the Minnesota Wild are kind of a funny team that way. I do think they get forgotten, and I think part of that is because of their lack of star power. When you think about the Wild, usually you think about a very suffocating defense, hardworking forecheck, but you don't think about goals. You don't think about much flashiness. And their runaway star is Eric Staal, which is incredible, the resurgence that this guy's had, especially this season. Going to the All-Star game, Bruce Boudreau said this week that if he were in Toronto, he'd be there'd be MVP chatter league-wide around this guy. And that's just because of the market. There aren't that many reporters in Minnesota, so that's part of it. It's also kind of the style of play that the Wild traditionally have played, which is defense first. I'm in Toronto, and Nazem Kadri was asked yesterday about the toughest guys to play against. I don't know if you saw the NHLPA poll that came out. And there were a bunch of the typical names. And I found it interesting. He mentioned Ryan Suter. He said that guy doesn't get enough credit. And it's because he doesn't score goals. He doesn't put up points. But Ryan Suter's another name there that, you know, is just steady and consistent on the defensive end. So they have a lot of interesting pieces, but they don't have a lot of flash. And I think that's why they get overlooked. And the other reason is, I think, some early playoff exits. Sometimes they've gone in with some hype, had a great regular season, and then they bow out quickly. So I think that also has kind of contributed to people not giving the Minnesota Wild enough ink as they deserve. But kudos to Bruce Boudreau, what he's done with that group, and Eric Staal, who's, you know, we thought he was on the downside of his career and that his best days had passed him by. He's having an absolutely phenomenal year.
And one name you didn't mention there is Chuck Fletcher, who's been in the news for, you know, whether he's getting extension or not. What do you think of the job that he's done in terms of building this team? Because for every great free agent signing there is in the NHL, there seems to be two or three bad ones for every team. What's your take on Fletcher's job in Minnesota?
Well, it's up and down. I like what he's done with his coaching staff. He made that big splash that summer. When he got the two biggest names on the market in Suter and Zach Parise, and really kind of swung for the fences. It hasn't paid off in a championship or anything like that, but I do like his aggression. He was very active again at the trade deadline last year, going out and getting Martin Hanzel, who at the time was one of the biggest names that was out there. It didn't pan out, obviously. So I think he was a bit snake-bitten by that, and we saw a pretty quiet deadline this year. And I wonder if part of that is because he's on an expiring contract, the fact that he doesn't have job security moving forward. So maybe he was hesitant to make any more bold moves, knowing that he won't be around to see this team through. Or he may be, but there's no certainty that he will be. So I wonder how much his job depends on how far this team goes in the playoffs, if they have to win a round or two in order to feel that he's worthy of an extension. But he's quietly done a decent job, and he's been around for a while, which it's a tough gig to stick around.
In the age of analytics and trying to find new things, in your newest article on Sportsnet.ca, you let some of the Maple Leaf players know what stat they lead in the NHL, and it's one that you kind of smile at, but hey, it's a stat and it makes sense. Why don't you tell the listeners the reaction you had from the players and what the stat is that the Leafs lead the league in?
Well, they lead the league in tip shots, and they also lead the league in closest distance to the goal per average shot. So they're getting closer to the net before they shoot, or they're tipping the shot, which obviously results in a close shot. And it's just kind of a one of those quirky stats, but it is kind of interesting, and it speaks to the way the league is trending, and that's getting traffic in front of the net. You know, Patrick Marleau's been around for 2 decades playing this game, and he said it's never been at this state where there's so much of an emphasis on driving to the net. And you think, well, hockey, that just makes common sense. You want to get to the net. He said, but it's been taken to another level over the last couple of years. There's such an emphasis on crowding that crease area and getting those juicy rebounds or tipping shots or screening, all that stuff. There's never been such an importance of it as there is now. And that speaks to the caliber of the goaltending. If they see a shot, chances are they're going to stop it. So it's something the Leafs have been working on. They weren't aware that they were leading the league in tips, but often you see guys after practice hanging around, working with a defenseman or two, absolutely blasting it from the point and just working on their hand-eye, tipping shots high, tipping shots low, and Marleau's excellent at it. I've sat and watched him a couple times, and he rarely lets a puck go by him, full slapper, without getting a piece of it. And the Leafs, most of them figure James Van Riemsdyk is the best on the team at it. And I asked JVR who the best was, and he quickly gave that honor to Austin Matthews, who also has incredible hand-eye. But it's just one of those skills that, and you know, if you're a kid and you're working on your game, it might not be something that you think about. You might be thinking more about your own shot. But tipping shots is becoming increasingly valuable in the NHL.
Well, it's one of those things, if you look at the other side of the spectrum, you look at a team like Montreal, who Max Pacioretty hasn't had a great year, and it doesn't seem like that team has been, I guess, producing and playing the way that, you know, to set up your scores for success. And so the Leafs are doing it well, and the Canadiens have not been doing it so well this year. In terms of the Eastern Conference, the Florida Panthers, you talk about a little bit about them in your piece as well, and they're currently 2 points out of a playoff spot behind Columbus and New Jersey. How do you handicap their chances at making the playoffs? Because they have been on a tear of late. Do you think they'll make it in?
Wow, it's a tough call, but I you know what, I think so. They're on fire, and they're catching their groove right at the right time. The reason why I say that I think they'll do it is because they have games in hand, and there's less pressure on them. I think Columbus. I think they're feeling that pressure a bit right now just because they had such success last season. And Tortorella's, you know, really pulling the strings there. I feel like they're under pressure. They feel like they've underachieved. Whereas Florida has kind of come up from the bottom, and there's a feeling of they have nothing to lose right now. And a large part of it is because there were so many new faces on that team. There was so much turnover. You know, they gave two of their best players away to Vegas. Jaromir Jagr, of course, went to Calgary and eventually left the league. So there was a lot of turnover with their core, and I think it took them a while to gel, and they're finding that now. And the other thing, I think, is Roberto Luongo is head and shoulders their best goaltender. You know, I like James Reimer, but he's not on Luongo's level. And Luongo was hurt for the bulk of the season. Now he's back. He looks 100% healthy. He's dialed in. And there's also an element of, you know, an emotional element here with the tragedy, the horrible shooting that went on in their area. And I think they feel a greater responsibility, not unlike what happened in Vegas early in the season.
He is Luke Fox from Sportsnet, joins myself, Perry Solkowski, and Ramdi Janda on Point. Go back 3 months, Luke, and really when the season started and Brock Besser got off to a good start, we in Vancouver waited for him to take that first trip out east so people could see how talented he was, and we still think on the West Coast maybe he wasn't getting his due. That's Vancouver. This is a big hockey market. Has Patrick Laine done everything possible, and he has, as a rookie and now continuing on this year, does he get the fair attention, or he doesn't need anything other than the box score and the highlights to tell everybody how good he is and how ridiculous this guy could be after the start he's had to his career?
Yeah, he's insane. He's off the charts good. Yeah, I do think he deserves a little more ink. I know us you know, at Sportsnet, we don't have a regular Winnipeg writer, and that's probably part of it. I'm sure if we had someone there, we'd have a lot more articles online, and he's certainly deserving of it. His shot is just incredible, and the fact that he may catch Alex Ovechkin and win the Rocket Richard, and if he does that, then I think it'll just be escalated that much further in terms of how much respect he has. But he's having a phenomenal season, especially, you know, so often people throw around the term sophomore slump, and that has, you know, not been the case with him at all. And the thing about Winnipeg is now I know they're dealing with the Mark Scheifele injury, and last I heard he was day-to-day, but the fact that they have three strong centers, they can roll three lines. It's this new trend we're seeing in the NHL where there's weapons on all three lines, and it creates havoc. If you're the defensive coach on the opposing team trying to get your best defenseman up against these guys. So Laine is going out on a theoretical third line, and he's the second best goal scorer in the whole league. So he's kind of sometimes he's able to feast on lesser defensemen. And it's just absolutely phenomenal what Winnipeg's been able to do there. And the fact that they picked up Paul Stastny at the deadline, I think that makes them neck and neck with Nashville in terms of a legitimate threat to come out of the West.
It is pretty amazing what he's been able to do. In his first two full seasons as a pro, he turned a pro at 18. He's got the most goals of any player that's done that, 84, more than Sidney Crosby, more than Steven Stamkos. Amazing stuff. Just to switch it up a little bit here, the NHL announced their NHL World Gaming Championship announcement today, kind of outlaying the plans of how it's going to take place. And I have to say, I'm pretty impressed by the tournament format and the global scale of it. What are your initial thoughts on the plans released by the NHL?
I think it's fantastic, and I think it's very forward-thinking, the fact that they jumped on this right away. You know, there's been a little bit of buzz about it, but the fact that they announced it and it's actually happening, like, immediately, it gets on later this month, culminates in June in Vegas. The fact that there's a European element to it, the States, the Canada, and that it all combines, I think is fabulous. And I was talking to a couple of Leafs players. I'm just driving back from their practice right now, and Travis Dermott said, $100,000? Really? He's like, I wish I was a kid. I would sharpen my skills and I would enter that right now. And not only is it a nice little treat for people who are addicted to the video games that might think they have a chance to enter or whatever, but I think it will just add another layer of marketing for the sport in general. You know, some people come at the game from different ways. Some people come at from watching whole games. Sometimes it's just highlights. Sometimes talking to their friends, but a lot of times it's through video games. So if they're playing the game, they might be more apt to follow along when the playoffs start and start watching the game and become fans, or might even get involved and play hockey themselves. So there's another layer to it in terms of growing the game and getting another round of attention in a different avenue that I think is very smart by the league and its players to jump on that.
Hey, Luke, thank you so much for your time. Have yourself a great weekend.
Okay, enjoy the weekend, guys.
Luke Fox of Sportsnet, read his article. Interesting take he has.
Sportsnet 650.